For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Issues that matter to you. Expanded on the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour.
And Mayor G.T. Bynum and Councilor Phil Lakin are with us in the studio. Gentlemen, good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Mayor, let's talk in your spot. You say vote yes to these three propositions. And I think a lot of people think of Improve Our Tulsa as just one thing on the ballot. What are the three propositions you want us to vote yes on?
So there are three elements of it. There's a sales tax. It's a temporary. It's a six-year sales tax, and that is to fund streets and other improvements, which we'll talk about over the course of the hour, I'm sure. Then there's a property tax that's also a temporary tax that funds similar things, streets and public improvements. And I get the question a lot, you know, why do we do temporary tax when we've been renewing, especially we've been renewing the sales tax. This is a sales tax that Jim Inhofe put in place when he was the mayor of Tulsa in the mid-1980s.
Half a penny, right?
Yeah, so or a full penny. And
full
so
penny,
why right. is it temporary? Well, it's temporary so that every 5 to 6 years, the citizens of Tulsa can decide what they want to spend their money on. And so it's not just, it doesn't go on forever, and they get to evaluate how their money's going to be spent for the next 5 to 6 years. That's why it's temporary. The third element is a new thing. We'd be the first city in the state of Oklahoma to have this, and it's a dedicated funding source for our rainy day fund. And the purpose of this is that we're forced by the state of Oklahoma. We're the only state in the nation that doesn't let cities use property tax for operations. We have to use sales tax. And the good side of that is it keeps our property taxes a lot lower than other states. The trade-off is that sales tax is much more volatile than property tax. Mm. And so when, and this happens routinely, about every decade it happens in Tulsa, we have a downward economic cycle. People start spending less. Sales tax goes down. Well, two things happen then. The city is forced to cut back on police officers because we have less money to spend. But yet when your economy is in decline, that's almost always when crime is going up. And so it's the worst time to be cutting back on police officers. So the city we created, we were the first city in the state to create a rainy day fund about a decade ago, but it hasn't accumulated enough money. The council and I just in the last year have tripled the size of it, but it's at $6 million now. And you're talking about an annual operating budget for the city that's over $250 million. So that would cover a light mist, not a rain. So this would create just an annual dedicated amount of about a 20th of a cent that would go towards a permanent sales tax that would go to fund that rainy day fund so that when we do hit the inevitable economic downturn, we get to keep our police officers and our firefighters in place and keep Tulsa a safe place.
So that would be a new tax, that third, no. That 20th? No.
No, we shaved that out of our capital program, that 20th of a cent.
Okay.
And so this program does not raise our taxes in any way on the sales tax side or the property tax side. All it does is continue the level that we're at right now for another 6 years.
$639 million in total. And this, of course, is the next phase after the almost $1 billion that was passed back in 2013. And we've heard you say that, you know, this is if we don't spend this money, then we're going to be wasting that earlier investment because we spent so much on the roads out of that first Improve Our Tulsa that now we got to maintain and keep up our investment. Why didn't we go back in 2013? I understand it wasn't your administration, but why didn't we go for the money for maintenance back then?
Well, we did. The problem was we found ourselves in 2008 where we looked and we had over $1 billion maintenance backlog for city streets. Mm. And so we passed at that time the Fix Our Streets program. It was the largest street program ever passed by the city.
300 and some million?
452 million.
Okay.
And then 5 years later, we passed, we changed the name of it because it was more than just streets. It was public safety vehicles and other stuff. We called it Improve Our Tulsa in 2013. And that was an even larger streets program. And so this is a renewal of that. But what we've done for the last 10 years is go back and we've been fixing streets that haven't been touched in 50 or 60 years and widening roads that haven't been touched since they were built in the 60s. And so we've hit a lot of our really worst streets, but what we're shifting to now is moving towards proactive maintenance of the things that we just spent $1 billion really reconstructing all around the city, while also recognizing there are a lot of streets we haven't had a chance to hit yet. And so this Improve Our Tulsa is different than the last one because it's a balance of that proactive maintenance and working on the worst streets that we haven't reached yet.
Councilor Lakin, thanks for being here. City Council has bought into this. I haven't sensed any opposition, right?
Absolutely not. Yeah, we've worked really well with the mayor for the last 3 years and even before that. The council is unanimously in favor of this, as we were for Improve Our Tulsa and the Vision program as well, which was the $1 billion program that passed in 2016.
Rick Corey is with me.
You guys both, I'm sure, are getting questions about this. What's the most common thing you get asked?
New taxes. Is this a new tax or not? And it's not. So this is just an extension of a tax, which the mayor already commented on. I receive lots of questions about which streets are included. Mm-hmm. And so the council and the mayor are trying to get out to their constituents an exact list of those streets. There's an improveourtulsa.com is a great place to go to receive that information as well. But people are interested to know if their neighborhoods are included, what arterial streets are included. So all that information is located there, but you can also get that through social media.
What are you getting, Mayor?
I still get the very basic question of why are streets in such bad shape? And, you know, should I put more money towards this when the city goes in and tears up a street and works on it and then comes back and tears it up again? And that is where I think we've done a terrible job of explaining how we go about doing our street projects. Our streets serve two purposes, which I didn't appreciate until I got on the city council. I mean, yeah, they're for cars to drive on and all of that from a transit standpoint. But they are also of equal importance. Is underneath our streets is the whole network around the city for our utilities. And so when we're going in and doing a street project, we've been for the last 10 years replacing all the utilities under that street. You don't want to spend $6 million replacing a street and leave the 1920s water line underneath it waiting to collapse and destroy the street that you just spent all that money fixing. And over 60% of the time that we spend on a street is actually the utility work. It's not the street work. It's all the utility work underneath it, water, sewer, gas, that kind of stuff. So we're trying to do a better job of explaining the sequence of that. The good news is we've done so much of that in the last 10 years that moving ahead, your average project in this program is really more about going in and tearing up that top layer of asphalt that's been put down mm-hmm. and replacing it. We don't have to do all the utility work anymore because we've already done it on so many of the streets. And so you're talking about projects that are going to take a couple weeks instead of a couple years, which is what so many of our projects done. So when people see the city tear it up over and over again, that's actually each utility company coming back and doing their work before we finally do the final cap and street project at the end.
One of the things that we hear a lot, we hear complaints about the condition of the roads, but then you try to fix the roads and the complaint we hear is why they have to do it all at once. So are these $427 million, and that's how much is going to street and transportation programs, is that all going out at once, or is it going to be, you know, paced over several years?
This is a 6-year program. Okay. And so we spend, and this is an important thing. When I first came to the council, I thought, oh, all the politicians get together like they do in D.C. and trade street projects and put it together and who wants what. We don't do any of that. We have crews that go out and they drive every lane mile in the city and they use a series of rankings to rate the street condition. Then they feed that into a computer program and we tell that program how long the program's going to run, how much money we have to spend. And it tells us the greatest return on investment. And that's where these street projects come from.
102.3 KRMG, Tulsa's news and talk, where we tell you the three big things you need to know every 15 minutes, all day. Now, back to the KRMG Morning News, 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour.
In the studio with G.T. Bynum and Phil Lakin talking about Improve Our Tulsa. Of that $639 million, it breaks out roughly this way. The lion's share of it by far, $427 million, goes to streets and transportation improvements, $50 million or so to temporary sales tax projects, buying capital equipment, things like police vehicles, $47 million for city facilities, parking facilities. Tulsa Zoo is going to get a new entrance and improvements to their parking, things for the Greenwood Cultural Center. And the Gilcrease Museum as well. There is $30 million for Parks and Rec, $26 million for the fire department, almost $6 million for the Tulsa Police Department, and then $6 million for economic development, $19 million, as the mayor mentioned, for a permanent rainy day fund sales tax, $18 million for the bus system in town, $9 million for community development. And that adds up to $639 million. Taking your questions via open mic, we'll get into some of those in just a moment. Tell us what you thought of the process of talking to the community and finding out what was really wanted and needed. Do you think it went well?
Well, you know, there's a way that these used to be put together where the mayor and a couple folks would get together over at the Chamber of Commerce behind closed doors and just come out and tell everybody in the community what was best for them and vote for it if you care about Tulsa. And we decided to change that back when we did the first Improve Our Tulsa program, and we replicated that this time. So the council and I spent a year researching the needs, and then we spent a year engaging our neighbors to make sure that whatever we put together reflected what Tulsans wanted to spend their money on. And so that takes more time to go through that, to do town hall, two rounds of town hall meetings in all parts of the city. But it's so important for us to get a feel for what people really want. And it didn't matter what part of town we were in. The number one thing people talked about was that our streets need to be in better shape. And that's why you see it prioritized to such a high degree in this program.
I know about your concern. I want to see if Councilor Lakin shares it. Are you afraid that there is maybe not enough talk about this, not enough awareness, and that people just won't turn up on Tuesday?
Yeah, November 12th, next Tuesday, there's nothing else on the ballot. So this is the only reason for people to go to the polls to vote. So, yeah, anytime you have a single issue like that on the ballot, then you have to hope that they're going to invest in their city. We've spent a year trying to figure out where the investments can be made. Now we've put it before the voters, and we need them to show up. Because just like we have a fiduciary duty as city councilors and the mayor to the city to take care of our assets, so do our citizens. These are their assets. And so the only way that they can take care of that duty is to vote for this. Hopefully they're all voting yes, because we need these investments in our city infrastructure.
All right, let's see what's on the open mics.
Mayor, you talk about a 20th of a cent here and a 20th of a cent there. I think it would help if people knew what the average impact per person would be out of their wallet.
Is there an estimate of average cost per Tulsa citizen?
So, Councilor Lakin is better at math on the fly than I am. I mean, a 20th of a cent means, like, for every $1,000 you spend, $5 would be going to the rainy day fund. Is that accurate? Yeah. So this is not, and I'm not saying a 20th of a cent here and a 20th of a cent there. Never said that in my life. I've said this is a 20th of a cent to go towards the rainy day fund to protect our public safety staffing in an economic downturn. I will tell you, the worst meetings I have ever been in as an elected official were in my early days as a city councilor during the Great Recession, when I had to look the wives and husbands of police officers and firefighters in the face in our chamber when they were begging us not to lay off their spouses who dedicated their careers to keeping people safe. And we had no choice because we hadn't saved up a dime to protect their employment. And so that was when I said, I will do whatever I've got to do as an elected official to make sure we're not in this position again. That's why we created a rainy day fund, and that's why we want to fund it properly to protect these folks. That's correct. Over the 6-year period of time.
Now, we're getting a text to it, 95920, and I know you said it, but you probably can't say it enough. And it says, well, if you're getting that extra sales tax going up, isn't that a permanent tax, and doesn't our overall tax rate go up? You've answered it before, but that's something you have to keep crying out over and over again, doesn't it? So explain why it does.
So the way it works with a property tax like this, you look at the way that it is paid off over time. And so there's a lot of different property taxes out there. The city has its for capital projects. Of course, Tulsa Public Schools has theirs. The Tulsa Tech and the library system and other entities, Tulsa County, they all have different property tax levies. What we wanted to do is make sure that this would keep that overall amount level, that it wouldn't change it as it goes along. And so there are other property taxes that are dropping off, and this is picking those up where they drop off to keep it at a steady level moving forward.
We need to be looking for places to cut spending, not increase spending and taxation.
Again, not increasing, just maintaining the current level. But the point about cutting things is valid. Did you look for ways to save?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, literally, that's how we're funding the rainy day fund element of this, is that we are cutting funding for other things.
Okay.
So that is what this would do. It is not on top of other taxes. It is cutting back on spending in other areas, but just saying that moving forward, this will be solely dedicated to our rainy day fund. The other thing is that in the last 2 years, the city council and I, we've saved $4 million and tripled the size of our rainy day fund by not spending, by being fiscally conservative on what we're doing.
Please get the mayor to tell the truth about what will happen to the millage rates and to our elderly on fixed incomes and their homeowners' taxes if enough funds aren't raised with the existing taxes.
Millage rates, of course, refers to property taxes, millage being the amount per $1,000 of assessed valuation on a home that you're taxed.
So again, we're fortunate that property taxes are very stable. Unlike sales taxes, property taxes largely don't fluctuate violently, especially here in middle America, like you might see on the coasts. And so, again, we've worked with actuaries and financial experts to make these projections so that they simply continue our rates as they are. And again, I want to be clear, this is going to keep our streets in good shape. I mean, all of the money that we're using on property tax pretty much is going towards street work and other long-term capital. And so, you know, I get it. Nobody likes to pay for anything. And yet, if we don't, we end up where we were 10 years ago with a billion-dollar backlog. And if we don't, we just spent $1 billion fixing streets, and now we're not going to maintain them. Talk about wasting our money for
that
the last 10
years. That would
be a
waste. Absolutely.
Tulsa's election headquarters, 102.3 KRMG.
Early voting beginning today for next Tuesday's vote to extend Improve Our Tulsa. If passed, the package will spend more than $639 million on streets, equipment, and other improvements.
After multiple discussions and town hall meetings, Mayor T.T. Bynum and the city council worked together to come up with what they believe is a good package.
We've put together a program that reflects what the citizens of Tulsa want.
This follows a nearly $1 billion investment by citizens back in 2013.
It's important to maintain the things we just spent the last decade building in all parts of the city.
I'm Rick Corey. The mayor and councilor Phil Lakin will be here with us for a special KRMG in-depth hour between 8 and 9 o'clock. Download or open the KRMG app right now and leave us your questions for them about Improve Our Tulsa using the open mic.
Issues that matter to you. Expanded on the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. in-depth hour.
Mayor Bynum and Councilor Lakin are in the studio with us for the second half hour of this in-depth hour, taking your questions via open mic.
Earlier this year, they resurfaced a perfectly good portion of Yale between 15th and 21st Street, while at the same time, 31st Street between Yale and Sheridan is a washboard. I'd like to know who prioritizes projects and if they're reviewed for prioritization.
Great question about prioritizing.
I love that question.
Me too.
Because it gets right to the crux of one of the biggest misunderstandings folks have. So a lot of the questions I get are, why don't we just do all of our streets in concrete? Why do we use asphalt? The reason we use asphalt, all of our streets actually do have a concrete base, but we put asphalt over the top of most of them so that the asphalt takes the beating from vehicles, from temperature fluctuations, from Oklahoma weather. And then what you're supposed to do, though, if you have a maintenance program in place, is that every 5 to 6 years, you go in and mill up that top layer of asphalt and you put a new one down. It's like you get a new street every 5 to 6 years, and it costs pennies on the dollar to do that, and it keeps everything below it secure and in good condition. Our problem was in Tulsa, we built a bunch of streets with that model and then we never did the maintenance on them. And so what the council and I are trying to do now is shift us to where we go in and we do exactly what that gentleman was talking about. Every 5 to 6 years on streets that we've already done, you go in and you take up that top layer asphalt and you replace it. And by doing that, it costs a fraction of what it costs to reconstruct the entire street. And it keeps everything below it in good condition and it preserves the life of your street for decades.
And it's faster too, right?
It's much faster. I mean, again, that's what you're talking about, a matter of days or at the most weeks rather than years, which is what a reconstruction takes.
And that washboard street has to be reconstructed.
Right.
So it's going to take 18 to 24 months. We do not want to let our streets get into that condition.
Exactly.
So if taxes are set to fall off and this is picking their place, if the vote is no, taxes will actually decrease?
Is that the case?
Oh, yeah. No, that's true.
So will the quality of life in Tulsa.
It's exactly right. I mean, you make a choice in whether or not you want to pay for things. And in our case, in local government, on this vote, people will make a choice in whether or not they want their police officers and their firefighters to have vehicles that work to protect them. They will make a choice if they want to have streets that maintain what they just spent $1 billion spending their money on, let alone to fix other streets that are in need of shape. And they will make a choice as to whether or not we're the kind of city that protects the employment of those who keep us safe or not. That's really what this vote is about. And so if you'd rather save a dollar on every $100 that you spend and not have all those things, then you should vote no. But if you want to have better streets and be safe in Tulsa and have parks that are safe for our kids, then this is a no-brainer to vote yes.
I mean, it's the whole idea is why we vote, right? Because you have the option to do what you want. Now, that's during correct. Our break, they were doing math in the corner, and I think Phil came up with the actual cost for us. So for those people who are asking how much would they go down, on $1,000, how much would their taxes go down?
Yeah, I think the mayor said it correctly. So a dollar for every $100 you spend in sales taxes would go down. But again, there are extreme costs to our community. Before we put any of these items on the ballot, the city council and the mayor went out and toured our facilities and saw our equipment and saw the state of our streets. And we have cop cars right now that were put into the force in 2005. They are not safe for our officers to be driving anymore. We have snow plows that are throwing salt and sand onto our roads that are not safe for our drivers to even be driving. And they're not equipped to continue to provide that kind of salt and sand on
our
roads.
We have told the infamous story of the mayor sticking his foot through the floorboard of the snow plow many times on this stage.
Councilor Lakin took that picture.
Yeah.
Thank goodness it wasn't in those shoes.
Right.
Those were costly.
I wouldn't have risked these shoes for that.
Right. I wouldn't think so.
All right. Well, not all of the questions and comments we're getting via open mic are negative.
As a longtime resident of the Tulsa area, I just wanted to say thank you to the mayor. This is the first time I've seen this administration invest as much time and effort in improving our great city. Thank you.
Simple thank you.
Thank you.
Did you hear that a lot during the process, or did you hear more criticism?
Oh, I mean, back to our earlier conversation, that's the greatest concern for me is people were just so appreciative that the council and I were working together throughout this. We were businesslike. We didn't have any giant public fights. We didn't fight with the county leading up to this. Mm-hmm. And so on the one hand, that's great because I think it shows the quality of local government that we have in Tulsa right now in both the city and the county levels. But the trade-off is you don't have a couple of camps all riled up about which side they're on and they're going to go to the polls. And to Councilor Lakin's point earlier, the last two of these votes that we've had, when we did this in 2013, you had the Bartlett-Taylor mayoral race that was driving turnout. And then in 2008, you had Obama-McCain on the ballot driving turnout. This time it's all by itself. And so the concern is that people assume this will pass. And that everyone, you know, the mayor and the council and the county have all worked together in a collaborative, cooperative fashion. And so it's going
to
pass.
So I don't need to go vote.
Exactly.
Certainly.
And then the fine people who are calling your show this morning who are outraged that they would be asked to keep their streets in good shape and to provide employment for law enforcement are going to go vote.
Yeah, we could go through this line by line. There's really no point to. People can find how the money is divided, as Councillor Lakin said, on the Improve Our Tulsa website. The one thing that did jump out for me is $4.5 million for a new police helicopter. I know helicopters are expensive not only to buy but to run on an hourly basis. They are very expensive. Did the city look at the possibility of the police using a drone system instead of having a police helicopter?
So we actually do have drones that we utilize. But when it comes to a police action, we have two things that are important on this. One, the police helicopter for us is a force multiplier, and it keeps our officers safer, having that in the air. There was a time when, for budget savings, it was grounded, and we weren't using it. And what happened was, if you had a suspect fleeing on the ground, in the dark, you'd have 20 officers running around in the dark trying to find this person. With the police helicopter, they can be right above it and let the officers who are on the ground know where they are. And it keeps our officers safer, and it reduces the number of officers you need for that type of situation.
We had a text at 95920 that asked, and it's a decent question, were there ever considerations for an exemption for anybody over 65? Because people are talking about people on fixed incomes. Did that come up at any point?
That was an element of programs a couple decades ago. That hasn't been an element of any capital program we've done in the last decade.
Talking Improve Our Tulsa with Mayor G.T. Bynum and Councilor Phil Lakin.
Now, back to the KRMG Morning News, 8 a.m. in-depth hour.
About another 6 minutes with Mayor G.T. Bynum and Councilor Phil Lakin talking about Improve Our Tulsa and the vote coming up on Tuesday. Before the break, I mentioned the differences between highways and streets and what the city is responsible for and not responsible for. This open mic kind of gets to that.
Does the city of Tulsa have any influence with ODOT in regard to making improvements to the intersection of 141st Street and Highway 75?
When you are working on streets that intersect with highways, you collaborate with the state?
We do on, and there is funding in this for specific improvements. Like I'm thinking about Highway 75 and 81st Street. It's a real bottleneck there by Tulsa Hills for all the residential
all
development
the
that's
there.
Occurred there.
Yeah.
And so the state has told us if this passes that they would redo their bridge that's there if we can fund the expansion of the road underneath. So there's examples like that. But I'll just be completely honest. I mean, there's other things. And I would say one of you guys have asked what other big challenges we get. I get more questions about highway construction than I do street projects.
Because people see that as part of the city.
That's right. People think that they're one and the same, and we don't have control over how long the BA project takes or how long the IDL work takes. I'm glad it's being done because once it's done, it's going to be a great improvement. But it is a challenge when there's so much highway work being done in the city to also tell people and ask people to vote for more street improvements on top of that.
You probably got a lot of those during the whole light issue, didn't you, Phil?
Yeah, absolutely. And our engineering staff does go down and meet with the ODOT engineers, so they're trying to coordinate projects as best as possible. But there are we've all driven Oklahoma State highways. There are emergency repairs that have to take place, and there are big bridge projects and everything else. So I'm glad ODOT is finally doing what they needed to do many, many years ago. It's just unfortunate that the city of Tulsa and the state of Oklahoma are having to do so much construction at the same time. Yeah. But we're going to end up with better highways and better arterial streets and neighborhood streets as well through the whole process.
Hey, Mayor, I appreciate all that you do as a Jinx resident. I know that anything that's good for Tulsa is good for all the surrounding suburbs, and we appreciate all your and the city council's hard work. Crazy question. What does GT stand for?
George Tiberius, of course.
No. I am George Theron the IV, named after my great-grandfather, and by the time I was born, there were enough Georges in our family, so my family's called me GT all my life. And my son, though, is not George. We decided my great-great-grandparents had named enough generations of our family. So I'm the last one. Theron, like
Theron,
yeah, like to claim that Charlize Theron is my cousin, but I have no idea where they came up with that.
You know, but, oh, hey, own that,
right?
I promise you, own that.
He does get called P.T. Barnum from time to time.
Oh, though. Yeah, all my life. all my life.
To that last open mic.
He was a brilliant man and a genius promoter.
Yeah, exactly.
Among other things.
Right.
The last open mic made a great comment. You've said this to me 1,000 times on our Monday visits. The city no longer works against other cities. And that's part of this too. These cities go right up against those streets that come in and spend money.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, all of our suburban communities, I think every single one of them, a majority of the people that live in them actually work in Tulsa. And so that's another question I get a lot of the time is about sales tax. One of the reasons the benefits of having sales tax in place for a program like this is that people who don't live and own property in Tulsa are still contributing to maintaining the infrastructure that they're using through sales tax. Mm-hmm. But we have a new era of regional collaboration from an economic development standpoint, and that's the reason that we're landing, you know, the two largest new employers in the history of our city and outpacing the state and the nation in job growth.
Okay, I'm going to end on an up note, but first the down note. What if, God forbid, this doesn't pass on Tuesday? What then?
Then we would have to regroup and reevaluate. I don't think a failure to maintain streets is an option for us. I don't think a failure to replace public safety vehicles is an option for us. That being said, I cannot think of anything that we could have done in the last couple of years in putting this together to make sure that we are putting together a program that reflects what Tulsans want that would change. And so this really is, it's a referendum on whether Tulsans are willing to pay for the most basic elements of having quality of life and safety in our city.
I just want to say thank you to the mayor. He probably doesn't hear that enough. But we as Tulsans, as hard as he's working, let's get out there and let's surprise him and set a record for how many people we can get to the polls. Let's go big. Thank you.
See, I told you I'd end on a positive note.
Hear, hear.
Love that man.
Yeah. Sir, we'd like your number if you'd like to. Right. Like to
he got his grandpa the open mic. That's cool.
All right. Well, we will be talking to you again as we get closer to Election Day on Tuesday. Thank you both very much for being here today.
Appreciate your focus on this.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.